You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back to the WESA Retail Roundup. I am Glenn DeGeek, founder of the Horse Radio Network and host of Horses in the Morning daily podcast for the last 15 years. The Retail Roundup is your go-to virtual hub for all things retail. We do panel discussions, webinars, and we have guests on like we do today talking about all things retail. Today, we're going to be exploring in-store displays and how they can ignite emotion, communicate brand identity, and drive buying decisions often before a shopper even touches the product. We have Bill Bazot on. He's account executive at One Source and a retail display expert who knows how to turn square footage into storytelling. Hey, Bill.
How are we doing?
Good. Thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So we are we're talking displays today, and obviously that's something that as retailers we've always dealt with, right? And I kind of feel that when we had our store, we put some effort into it, but we didn't put a ton of effort into it, right? We're talking to mostly small to middle size tack shops and retailers in the horse world here. How important are displays in today's world, especially when people's attention spans are much shorter than they ever used to be?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from our sake, you know, displays vary from the simplest metal rack to a super complex lights, sound, visuals, graphics. So, you know, it really comes down to what the brand is looking for, you know, and what stores they're going into. Some stores, you know, we all go into grocery stores where you walk in and the main objective there is to get in and get out. You know, it's a very basic grocery store, get your food and get out. Then you could have another store that's something like a Whole Foods that is, you know, it's specific to a certain type of shopper, you know, the health, they know what they're going in for. They're loyal to that store. So yeah, it really, you know, they're important. It depends what you're trying to sell, whether it's a retail environment, whether it's just a simple product. And that's where they can go from a small rack to something that's super elaborate that has, you know, could be an 8-foot display that could have anything from multiple sensory things that are allowing the consumer to touch, feel, see, you know. So it really comes down to what they're looking for and where it's going and what the main goal is of whether it's the product or the retail environment that you're trying to promote to retailers to help promote your product.
So on that note, in today's world, how long does the display have within the store to catch somebody's attention? It has to be seconds.
Yeah. And again, that goes back to what are you promoting here? Is it a t-shirt off a rack? Then yes, well, you've got seconds to capture that person's attention.
Well, and in our case, it's going to be, you might have a 50 different types of cowboy boots, right? You could have, 25 different types of cowboy hats and jeans and saddles and bridles and all of that stuff. I mean, you're going to have, I come back to it. I think you have seconds, right? They're looking at all of this and just analyzing quickly. What is the thing that makes them catch their attention when I'm looking at a rack of cowboy boots? What's catching my attention?
You're looking, well, you know, our goal is to help that display. Yeah. It basically, we're trying to help the product sell. So we're talking to the brand and saying, what's the pain points that you're seeing? What's lacking that'll help promote your boot over your competitor's boot? So whether, you know, it's something as catchy as graphics, it's something as catchy as the way the display is showcasing the boot. You know, you walk into a lot of stores and they're just lined up on shelving.
Right.
How can I make your display so that when they get to this point, they stop because they see that boot is showcased a certain way, whether it's the ability to feel, touch, turn the boot. It all comes down to what the brand is looking to do and how that display can help stand out from everything else that's in the store. So yes, it is seconds, and it comes down to is it a graphic? Is it the way the boot is showcased? There's so many X's and O's that go into a display. And we lean, you know, our goal is to learn as much as we can about the brand. So whether we're out at stores taking photos and seeing what they currently have in, whether it's, just research, whether it's researching the niche of what the brand falls in, you know, if it's the Western apparel, let's look at what's out there. and let's find out why this brand is doing well, why this brand isn't, and why how we can mesh it all together so that your display stands out in seconds and the consumer wants to buy your boot versus the boot next door to it. So there's a lot of factors, and that's where we come in as a custom retail display company, because we can find those factors that are going to make you stand out beyond your competition.
So at OneSource, you're working with the manufacturers then, helping them with their displays in stores, in retail?
We're working direct with brands okay. and retailers. So the brand would come to us and, you know, would say, we've got a new product line. We're looking to help get this out into stores. What can we do for it? So let's just take a boot display. And they've got a brand new boot. It's got four different colors, and I'm just being broad here.
Yeah.
But you know, they want to come up with some kind of display utilizing their image, their logo. They want it to be made of metal. They want it to last in stores for 2 years. So there's so many factors that we have to, you know, go through. So our goal is to learn that brand, work with them, and then it goes through our design team, which will come up with multiple different concepts. And we'll touch different materials such as wood, metal, different graphics, lighting, if they need, you know, what if it's, they want to be brand specific to them and they want a specific color or header that look this way. So we go through that process of, what are you looking for? What is it you're trying to accomplish? We come up with concepts. We come back to you as the brand or the retailer and say, here's what we've got. You're trying to do this new boot display. Here's the ideas we came up with. And we kind of collaborate with the brands to find out what they're, you know, to get to that point that they're happy with what they're seeing. And then it moves into, with us, it moves into engineering, it moves into production, it moves into manufacturing, it moves into the whole, you know, assembly. And then out the door, it goes to wherever we need to put it. So our goal is to work very close with the brand or retailer to help them get through the pain points that they're having to hit that, to blow them away with something that they haven't seen yet or something that's going to have them stand out from everybody else that's around them.
And I think people too, shoppers, we look at different displays and we assume we know the price by the quality of the display, right? I mean, the fancier the display, we just assume automatically that's got to be a more expensive item.
Yes, yes. And yeah. I mean, you see it, you go, you know, you've got your checkout displays that are, you know, the impulse buys, might just be a small rack that, as you're checking out, quickly grab that candy bar, quickly grab whatever it is. And it might not be the most fancy thing, but they're selling a product that's a dollar. Then you've got, you know, you walk into an electronics store and you're looking at, you know, some kind of new computer system or a keyboard that lights up or, you know, even clothing, you know, a nice jacket, you know, the nicer the display, usually in people's minds, it is, yes, that's a high-end product. You know, the bigger, the more space it takes up. So yes, that is a mental thing with a lot of people is, wow, that's a fancy display. That thing probably costs $100, where this one might be $1.50. So that is something that you do see.
Yet when you look at that product then and discover that instead of $100, it's $75, I'm going, wow, that's a good deal, because in your mind, you had put it higher than that judging by the display. So in a way, it can work the other way.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's our goal. And that we'll sit down with, you know, the brand and say, you know, budget, what are you guys looking to spend? You know, what is it you're trying to, how long does this need to last? And then that's what we come up with, you know, hey, the best bet for this is let's make a nice metal display with some wood accents, you know, graphics. And it allows us to understand more what the brand is looking for. And that's why, you know, what we do is very custom. You know, we can do the simplest of simplest display, but we can also do the display that blows you out of the water. And that's what makes us unique in working with different brands is we can kind of do anything you're looking for. It just depends on, as the brand or retailer, what do you want to do? And let us help you. Let us make your life easier is what I always tell clients is, I'm here to make things a lot easier for you. You tell me what you're looking to do, and I'm going to make it happen for you.
What are the common mistakes that small to medium-sized retailers make with displays? Prioritization, I think, would probably be one of them, right? They're probably not prioritizing the right products a lot of times. They're giving too much display
to... Right. You might have, you know, in some stores, it's all about how much product can you sell on a display? Can you stuff the display with an abundance of stuff versus less stuff and make it kind of, you know, a nicer display with less stuff? But that goes back to giving the idea of it's an expensive stuff because there's only 10 items on this versus 100 items on hooks. So that's something you see, something we like to do with brand, with helping them is having displays that have adaptability, where they can be used multiple times in multiple situations, whether it's reskinning it with graphics, whether it's, you see a lot of the shop in shops where they're inside a big department store and they'll give a section to a Nike or whoever it is that'll have tables and clothing racks and all sorts of stuff. So our thing that we like to preach is let's make it flexible over time. Let's make it adaptable over time. And something that's high performing, something that builds confidence in your brand. When someone walks up to purchase that, they feel like they know the brand, they're comfortable with the brand, and the brand fits who they are and why they're buying that product.
And that comes back to you talk a lot about storytelling, and again, looking at that display you just described, I know the story.
Right. Yeah. That's really how you kick things off is what the story you want it. Our job is to tell the story of the product. And it could be as simple as, like I said, if it's just something that has clothing on it, but if you're having something that's like, we work some electronic brands and their story is they're selling, the stuff that lights up and the headset that works to, allows you to visually and hear it. You could test everything. So the story is if you're walking up to it, you want to see, feel, and touch this thing. Because if I'm going to spend $100 on a new headset, let me put it on. Let me make sure that it sounds right. Let me hit the button on the display that has video game sounds that allows you to say, okay, I'm walking out of here with this. Versus taking it home, not testing it, and returning it, or not feeling comfortable. So yeah, we want to tell the story. And that's really our goal for the brand is we're here to, like I said, help you. I want to make your life easier. So tell me what you're trying to do. And then we'll tell the story of that and show why this is going to be a successful launch for you and displays to go with your products.
Are there actually displays that hurt sales?
I don't think it's that hurt sales. Nobody wants to be really standard. Everybody wants to stand out. There's obviously situations where there's brands that might not have as big of a budget. So our goal in those situations is, let's find you something that'll work for your budget but allow you to stand out. So if you're a hat company and you're up and coming and you can't afford the $250 hat display that's made of metal and wood and all the bells and whistles, let's look at something in corrugated, because we can still make that stand out for you by branding it for you, great graphics, ease of shopping, and it still can stand out in the store with everything else around it, because now it's yours. And it's not just putting it on a standard stock shelf rack that everybody else did. So you're not spending the big dollars for that metal display, but you're spending money on the corrugated display, which still gives you a step up because you've now branded it to you and you're standing out versus over just being on a shelf. So I wouldn't say that it hurts anybody. It's just finding the right way to get your display made. Because we deal with small companies and large companies. And obviously the smaller companies, startup companies, they don't have the big budget. So it's how can we help you get out there, still get your brand out there, still find the right display that fits you and for what you're looking for until you're ready to do the bells and whistles, which, that's great working with startups because they eventually get there. And then if you're the big boy that has all the money, then we'll make that grand display for you because you're able to spend that money and you're going to get your return on investment for that. So it really, it's not a matter of bad displays. I think it's a matter of what can you make work for you based on budget, timing, lifespan, and still be able to stand out amongst other ones in the store.
And do you have, and the other obstacle for you working with brands coming into stores is you got to get a buy-in from the retailer to take the space to put that display in the store, right? They might want to carry the product, but they don't want a huge display. Do you then propose options, the smaller tabletop display as opposed to the standalone display?
Yes, 100%. We'll ask what do you have for space? What are you allowed to do in this store? This brand wants you in there because you're one of their higher selling products, but they want you to only take up this table. So what we like to do too is we'll go into those kind of stores and we'll be able to pitch back to the brand who's putting their stuff in there is, let's make this fit in with the main retailer and kind of, you know, if they have a certain color or look to the to what they have in the store, let's keep that same thing going, but allow you to put your branding on top, or allow you to put your branding on the sides or in shelf channels, but still gives it the feel, if you were just walking off the streets and walked in, you wouldn't know that that display was specifically bought by them versus bought by the, you know, the Macy's or the gigantic, you know, the big store, the Walmart. It's we try to help brands in that situation by finding a way to mesh up what if they're not allowed to think outside the box, if they are supposed to stay in within a certain guideline, then we will help come up with create something that is, you know, based on what that store looks like, but allows them to still have their own personal branding. Now, if you get some stores, you know, for instance, like a, let's just say a Best Buy, there's a lot of, you're allowed to do a lot more in those kind of situations. So it really depends on what the retailer is looking for and then what you're allowed to do. But we're always on board to help get you to the point that the retailer will accept what you're looking for, whether it's got to stay in a certain parameter or whether you're allowed to kind of go wild and they're going to put it in the store. As long as it meets these three criteria, anything goes. So really, again, that goes back to the customization that we do. That goes back to, you know, understanding where we come in is we understand the, you know, the big box store or the big brand. We have that familiarity that we know that, okay, we can't step outside the box too much. We have to stay within these guidelines, and we'll get you to that point where the display is going to be effective, but also make the brand, the retailer that's going into, very happy with what they're putting in there. They're not going to feel like you overdid it and stepped on their toes, basically. They're going to be happy that it fits their narrative, fits what their store looks like, and also makes the brand that we're putting this stuff in for very happy, because it all works out in the long run. We're all, you know, we're trying to make it as one, trying to be a team for everybody.
Yeah, it's true. If you have a retailer, you don't, your space is your enemy, right? So yes. you can't put a separate display in for every brand of boot you carry, because it would Correct. Just take up the entire store. So as retailers, we're also always looking at what can we fit in there, you know, and how much can we fit in there, and we're always trying to fit more than we probably should have.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way, you know, it's human nature, right?
Right. And the thing with that too is you're also dealing with, you know, we'll build a display that might have storage space in it, or you're also having to deal with the merchandisers in the store that have to fill that up after time because they've cleaned house on everything that's on there. So it is a lot of steps. It's a lot of finding the best way. Like if you know the store struggles with that, then we've got to find a way to also have, you know, an extra shelf under there for storage where it's easy for the merchandiser at the store could just come in, pull it out, okay, reload it, and then close it. They're not going to the back room. They're not trying to find something that's in a box buried behind 40 other boxes. So yeah, it does come down to space, you know, how can it be merchandised? And that's where our goal as a company is to try to make sure that that's done properly and easy for everybody that's going to be involved in the process of the display.
Where I've seen really good displays is some of the jewelry companies, because they accomplish all of that. The display is beautiful. Now they're dealing with a product that's smaller, so they can put 100 right. of them in a case as opposed to two boots, right?
Right, right.
So it is easier, but the really good ones have, and when we were dealing with that, I liked having the excess inventory right in the bottom of the display, because it was so easy. Time is the other enemy we have. Space
yes,
and time
yes.
are the two enemies we have. And we're always fighting space and time.
Correct.
Right. That's our biggest
Correct.
Our biggest concern. In any
yeah.
store.
Yep.
Even the biggest grocery stores, that's the problem.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because then they're also looking for what's coming in next. You know, that lifespan has 6 months to sit on the shelf, or that corrugated display on the end has 3 months to sell out, and then they're pulling it and then something else is coming in. So it's like, yeah, it is all about space, timing. How fast can I move this out of here? How fast can I change it? So yeah, there's so many factors that go into how we, you know, on a day-to-day to get that display right.
So how often do you recommend end caps are changed out in the small to medium sized store? And I would figure there you're probably getting the same customer coming back once a quarter. You know, would you do it quarterly then?
Yeah, it could just be something as simple as just a quick graphic refresh. You know, you might have, you know, maybe it's seasonal. We do that a lot of that where they'll put something up for Christmas and they want to, you know, they have a specific product that is just, you know, the packaging of the product might be Christmas based, but they want to keep that, they have that space for 6 months. So then come spring, you know, we're doing something different that the graphics are changed and that display can live a lot longer. Obviously corrugated displays, temporary displays like that do, you know, they do get beat up, you know, if they're being on the ground, on the floor more than a big, large metal wood display. I mean, carts run into them. You know, they just get hit, they get moved around, they get shuffled, cardboard's eventually going to start to rip.
Kids drool all over them.
Yeah. You know, stuff gets pulled or falls down because someone runs into it. So there's, you know, we look at it as the, yeah, if you've got a good spot, and again, depends on the retailer, because there are some stores that you can go into and you know that you're going in there quickly to just get in and get out. You know what you're going in there for. You're buying your gallon of milk and you're trying to get out of there. Then you have other stores where you might spend a little more time. So if you've got the time and you know that your product is moving, let's just refresh this. So let's put new graphics on it. Let's put new, you know, let's maybe we add, you know, we do a lot of these things with update kits sometimes for some of our clients where they're going to just change out the product and they want to put new messaging, or they have some space left on this display where they can add another, you know, some kind of metal signage that just gives it a little bit more life, livens it up, changes it, but really kind of keeps it the same from what it was. So we like to, you know, end caps, we typically, you know, you usually say, I'd say about 6 months you usually want out there, maybe a little less depending on where the store is. You know, and if it's a holiday based thing, you know, we do some stuff for candy brands where it's, you know, Halloween. So it's not going to live longer than 3 months. They're going to pull the witches and the ghost off the shelf right after Halloween, because everything's going to be discounted 50% off. Get the candy out of here. Let's move the next stuff. Let's move the Christmas stuff. So yeah, really, you know, our temporary end cap type displays, I would say you're looking at anywhere from 3 to 6 months before you want to either revisit it, change the graphics, update it, do something new with it, or the product is completed. That's the goal. 6 months and then the product is completely gone.
Did I see you worked with Wrangler?
We did. Yes.
That's a tough one because you're in every different kind of store of all different sizes. That's got to be challenging.
Yes. It's a great company that we work with. We've been working with for a few years. We actually, we do all their, you know, it's their t-shirt racks, their tables, pretty much anything apparel with them, we're doing for them. And they came to us because they were looking for a company that kind of had the ability to do a little bit of everything. And that's what we do. They wanted somebody who understood, you know, value engineering, somebody who understood the logistics side of things, somebody who could actually create great displays. And that's something we take pride in one source is our, you know, very, we like to do a lot of stuff behind the scenes that isn't always seen. And that's what we, you know, the logistics, the assembly, the packing, the, what goes on in design, and the client sees, you know, the great picture, the great display, what it all looks like. And anybody who's shopping and goes to these, you know, you go to the store, you buy your jeans off a table. A lot of times you don't really think about the process of how long that display took. It could be a 6 month, 8 month process before, from start to finish, before that display is actually in the store. So Wrangler at that point was looking for somebody who could kind of handle all that stuff. Somebody who can do all the great display work, but also handle the stuff behind the scenes, which, like I said, we do. We have our warehouse here. We're able to assemble. We're able to make shipments on time. We're able to, you know, our value engineer things, our sourcing ability, whether it's overseas, whether it's domestic. We have a great understanding of that. And that's why Wrangler has been working with us for a few years. They valued that and it's been a great success.
So from a retailer side, you obviously you see a lot of retailers too. You know, you have opinions on what you see in the retailer on the retail side. What are the things I would guess refreshing displays more often? That's something that I see even in the tack shops I go to, right? The displays haven't changed in a very long time. And correct. That's again a time is your enemy thing, and it's you and one or two employees and you're running the whole shop and you have to do everything. Yes. Right. So I think in some cases displays refreshing displays is a problem there. What do you see, you know, on the retail side?
Yeah, it can be a problem. It can also be, you know, a benefit. You know, it comes back to, you know, what does the client have for budget? What's their plan for the following year? Maybe they don't want to spend the large amount right up front because they know next year that whole display is being refreshed or completely redone, I should say. So it may be something as simple as, you know, update the graphic and add two new products on that same display. We do that. We do that for a number of clients that like to do that. And because their goal thinking is we're not going to spend the $250,000 on a new display. We're going to spend the $50,000, update it to the new product. And then next year we know we're going to roll out something completely new. But refreshing displays is something that happens a lot. It's something that, you know, we're happy to do. It's something we do all the time. It has its ups and downs. Sometimes you just, you feel like the display could use more than just a refresh. But you know, that goes back to the brand knowing that they may be changing something in the next year, or the store doesn't want to give them the space to add another display for that new product. So they're just going to have to force them to put it onto the current display. So yeah, it's not the worst thing. But it also, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into why those are happening. And that's, you know, we see that pretty commonly, but you're trying to refresh a display, you know, budgets are obviously tight for some clients. So we try to work with them to give them the best options based on what they can spend versus what they can't spend. And they can spend maybe the following year. So there's ways we talk through that with them is, all right, let's do this now. And then next year we can look at, you know, kind of that big brand new shiny display that's going to go into stores because this retailer is going to give you the space finally.
And there's certain products that as a shopper, you know, who's been shopping for a long time, in addition to selling stuff for a long time, there's certain types of products that I don't want the display to change because I know where it is, where I'm going to go and get it. You know what I mean? And then there's certain products. Yeah. There's certain brands. Yeah. Changing the display doesn't matter It matters, but it's not that consumable that I need to just know right where it is. So I think probably display refreshes are more important to the occasional buys rather than I need fly spray every month. I go in and get my fly spray and I know where that fly spray is. However, I might choose a different fly spray depending on the end cap or what display they have up to and what messaging, what story I'm seeing from the new fly spray, right?
Correct.
And I would think as if you're new, like if I'm a new fly spray, then I have to tell my story or else they're just going to go pick up the old.
Yeah. There's a comfort level too with the shopper. They have built a relationship with that product. They like, you know, product A versus product B, even though product B might be 10 times better.
But I've used it for 20 years, Bill. I've used it for 20 years.
Yes. That's what it is. We're all loyal to certain brands and certain products. I mean, that's our nature. We find what we like and a lot of us stick to it. You know, some people don't like change. So yes, you have, if there's a new product out, and that's where you do see a lot of new brands is they're willing to spend that, willing to put that extra amount in or extra oomph for that display because they know they're competing against the other three brands that have been there forever. They're staples in the industry. They're, you know, how am I going to stand out so that, you know, the next couple shoppers that come in give me a chance versus giving me the old reliable a chance. So you see it all the time. And if you are a new brand, yes, you probably do want to, you definitely want to stand out a little bit more versus the other ones so that you can start getting some recognition, you build that up, and then people notice who you are.
And in that case, a lot of times the display is just a reinforcer of all the advertising and promotion that you did to get the person in the store in the first place. So I've seen the promotion, I've seen the advertising for that new fly spray, for instance, and now I'm going in the store and there's the display that I go, okay, that's the one I've been hearing about. And so all of those have to go together. You must have to also look at what campaign they're doing and how it matches branding for the campaign.
Yeah. And that's where our research as a company comes in. Like I said, we'll be out in the field, we'll visit stores, we'll be sure to, you know, get their brand guidelines. We'll be sure to get whatever they can provide me to make them a better display, make that display fit the narrative of what they're trying to do, whether it's the campaign for the next 6 months, whether it's we are rolling out a new product for this, whether we're going to be doing a ton of stuff at trade shows and on-site events. And then right after that, boom, this display is going live. And everybody who was at this music festival seen us giving this drink out. And it's going live 2 days after that, after that festival's over. So yes, we have to do a lot of research. And that's, like I said, that's where we try to make the brand or the retailer's life a lot easier is let us do that. You know, give us the insight, what you're trying to do, and then let our team of creative and engineering and our project managers and everybody involved in the situation, let us go to work because that's what we're best at.
And then it comes back to what it's always come back to, and this hasn't changed in 40 years I've been doing this, is word of mouth is still the number one. It's still the number one trusted source. Now, your friend might not know what they're talking about, but you heard it from your friend, right?
Right.
And you tend to trust people that you know.
Yeah. You know? Oh, and we hear it from, you know, you get that recognition from brands too, you know. Susie over at this brand knows John at this brand, and John told her that he's trying to launch something new. Well, Susie knows that one source knocked it out of the park for them. Hey, Susie introduces us to John, and you know, you take pride in your work, and the word gets out, and the same goes for, like you said, for other, you know, for word of mouth, just even on the products. You know, Joe tried those shoes. Joe loved those shoes. Joe's cousin now is buying those shoes, and Joe's cousin might see our display that Susie told John about. So, it's all a big circle.
But it also comes back to that whole thing, you know, where it used to be three touches to in marketing, right, years ago, before all the clutter of social media. Now it's probably 10 touches.
Right.
With I don't know what your numbers are showing, but it's probably 10 to 12 touches. So not only does your friend tell you about it, but you've also seen it in the magazine, heard about it on the podcast, and seen the display in the store.
Yes. Yeah. So, and the social media, the influencers that are out there, the content creators, the stores, the commercials. There's so much information in our face nonstop. So yeah, you see it 8 times before you even actually see the product.
When brands ask me where they should be advertising, like obviously I'm in the podcast side, right? I'm in the audio, and video side. I tell them everywhere. That hasn't changed either. You got to be almost everywhere people are.
Yeah.
Wherever people are consuming, you need to be.
Yeah.
That exposure side of getting the word out of marketing has not changed.
No, no. And like you just said, you're seeing it on social media. You're seeing it at, you know, festivals. You're seeing it on television. You're seeing it in magazines. We're so information overload that as a brand or retailer, whatever it is, you've got to make sure your name is everywhere, because everybody's seeing a different source, getting their news from somewhere different, getting their information from somewhere different. Put yourself out there to everything. I mean, we do it with our, LinkedIn, and we do it with trade shows, and we do it with, word of mouth. We do it with email blasts. There's just so many ways. Just our company does this, and we're out here to help the other brands make a splash. So the brands that are selling a way bigger product, they've got to find even more ways to get themselves out there.
And it's hard for the small company, though, isn't it? Because one, again, even this, the small manufacturer is usually one person, maybe with a small team, and they're having to manufacture to do everything in addition to marketing.
Yeah, and you're wearing so many hats. Yeah, the smaller, and it's what's fun working about those with those companies too is like there's such a passion for what they're trying to do to get themselves, to the top. So you get this refreshing feel that these guys want it. They've got a product and they believe in it. You get the same from the big brands, but it's such a different, you get to see different sides of things working with different size brands. The small brands that are, have only so much they can do, but they've got this passion and how can I get myself out there? What else can we be doing? And then you've got the big brands that are just, they're out there. Everyone knows them. They're in your face. So it's really cool to work with different size brands, different types of brands, different, personalities that are, they're just getting into this versus the guy who's been there for 25, the guy or woman that's been there for 25 years and just, they know it. So it's a very interesting, our industry is very interesting just because if you're in it, I feel like a lot of people don't always, you don't think about, when you go buy jeans, you're not really, the normal shopper might not be looking at the table that the jeans are on, but being in the industry, like I'll go to malls and stores and stuff like that. And I'll stop and look at those displays, whether we did it or not. And people are like, what are you looking at? I'm like, oh, this is really neat. Look how they did this. And like, what are you talking about? This just got, but it's like, no, you don't understand the process that went into this. And the people behind the scenes that are at the brand, that there's a reason this is built like this, because this is what they needed to help sell their stuff. Hey, you bought the jeans off it too, by the way. So I guess it worked,
So what, we'll end on this. Convince me as a small manufacturer who probably has one or two or three products to start, right? And I'm looking at one source and saying, I can't afford them. They're out of my league. Are you?
No, we're absolutely not. And that goes back to what I was saying about, we will find what will work for you. We understand that you don't have the $500,000 budget. You've got $40,000 that you can spend. So, and you need 200 displays. Well, we can't, that's where we go to work. All right, let's figure out what the product is you're trying to sell. You've got hats and you can't put these hats on this fancy display. But like I said, we go back and we look at a corrugated display. We look at a very simple rack that still is branded to that company, still stands out. still makes them have a splash in retail versus just going on that shelf. So we can make just about anything work for anybody. You're not out of our realm. We will make sure that we can do the research to get you something that will work for you. And we'll work with you. If we find ways to, you know, we go back to the concepts of design multiple times. You know, we'll show you good, better, best. And all right, we've narrowed it down to this. Great. Now let's keep going, because we've hit what you can afford. We hit what you're looking to do, and we hit a display that helps you stand out, and still, you know, it's still going to put you in retail, and people are going to see you. They're going to know that that's your brand. You're not just going to be on a table with a little sign that says your brand name. Now you've got a 5 foot tall display that's got a graphic on the side that says, boom, this is who we are. And even though it's made of corrugate, it doesn't matter. You've got yourself branded out there. You're in retail. You've made a splash. You're standing out versus the other guy next to you who's just on the table with a little small sign that just says their brand name or says hats. Well, and it's just a bunch of hats.
I imagine then you're working a lot with the companies on their branding, because a lot of times they think they know they have a brand, or they have a logo, right?
Yes.
But they haven't defined their brand at the point. So I imagine in what you're doing, you're also helping them really define their brand.
Yeah. Yeah. We've seen people come into us and say, you know, we've got this retail package we give to our clients, and it's just kind of that. It's just, you know, it's got our logo on it. It's very basic. You know,
and we all start there as manufacturers, right? I mean, that's where we start, right?
You know, give me something more. And then we go, like I said, we do the research. We go to work. We'll look at your guideline, your brand guidelines. We'll look at, you know, the industry you're in, and we'll say, okay, let's find the materials. Let's find the colors. Let's liven the you know, let's take your logo and find a way to incorporate it in the display so it stands out more. And that's where our creative team is awesome, because they'll do that research of looking at, you know, what's going on in the Western industry. Let's look at what's going on in the Western apparel industry. Let's see what other brands are doing. Let's see what's standing out. What's hot? What's kind of gone to the wayside? And then we just, boom, and we've got yourself a killer display. And it's, you know, and a lot of times what happens is we've run into people and different brands who are just amazed because they didn't really want to, they didn't know it could be done. They didn't put the time in to really, you know, they bought a stock display, which is completely fine. But when you're trying to get to, we want to stand out. Well, let's look at your stock display and what are your paint? Like, you know, it's too expensive. It's too heavy. All right, great. Well, how about we do this? We can make it cheaper and we can make it stand out better because we're using different materials. We're taking your logo and putting it in a different way. We're taking your background on what your company is, and we're giving you a different topper that isn't just a plain old sign. Now it's got some life to it, and it's got some punch, and we've saved you money. We got you a killer design, and you're happy. The retailer's happy. Your product's moving. So don't ever feel like we're out of your realm. We are not. We want to work with everybody, and we're such a talented group of people here at OneSource that we will find a way to get a specific display designed and created for you based on your needs and what we can do for you.
And what's the website?
It is www.youryour.onesource.com. We're based out of our main warehouse is here, based out of Chicago. We also have teams on the East and the West Coast. We have a full warehouse full of assembly, packouts. We can ship logistics. We do rollouts for all multiple brands, our in-house designers, in-house engineers. Feel free to call if there's anything. Like I said, we're always ready for the new challenge. We're always ready to help, you know, brands get to that next point where they can be elevated and stand out in retail.
And you worked with Wrangler, so I assume that you know a little bit about our space, the horse world, and the Western lifestyle world.
Yes. And that's with me, which is interesting, is, and I found this as who I am. So I enjoy the Western world. I own plenty of boots and hats. So I found that I wanted to go after the Western apparel brands, because I do think if you've got somebody who also really knows the product, it does help a lot versus somebody who may not, that just might be coming
especially
up with
horse products. I mean, that's a whole different world.
Boots,
right?
Hats, different clothing, you know, different, you know, just like you said, horse spray, you know, if you've got somebody, fly spray, if you've got somebody who has used that product or knows it, I think it just elevates the mindset of the person. Cause I'm going to buy your product. So I want to make sure that your display looks great. I want to make sure that when I walk into the store, like if I was the consumer that wasn't making that, what would make me buy that product? But that goes back to like the loyalty thing and understanding the brands. But yeah, so that, I think that's key. And that's something I find with me that I've found a lot of success here in the Western brand is because I have a passion for it. I've been able to kind of connect with a lot of brands in the Western world. And I think my insight also just, it's just a step above somebody who doesn't quite understand that versus, you know, I can help everybody in the process by saying, hey, look, I bought those jeans before. I know why there might be an issue with it, or I know how we can make these stand out. I know why that boot's better than that boot. So I think that's a huge plus, and that's something I'm finding success in too. So if there's any Western apparel brands that have questions, you know, I'm very comfortable with that arena where I think I help make them feel comfortable because they realize they're working with somebody who does understand what they're trying to sell.
Very good, Bill. Thank you. Bill from One Source. We'll put links in the show notes to your company as well. Right. And keep in mind that we do a separate episode on the Wisdom by Wessa podcast feed every single week. We do two retail roundups every month and then two episodes where basically meeting the manufacturers and the brands in the horse world. So look for that. It comes out every Thursday now. And I know that my wife, Jennifer, will be hosting a brand new episode next week as well, meeting a brand out there in the horse world. Thank you so much for joining us. You can follow a Wessa Trade Show on YouTube, on the YouTube channel as well. And they have a website. It's wessatradeshow.com. Of course, we'll be looking forward to August now for the next trade show. So we hope to see everybody there in Dallas. I guarantee you this time we won't have an ice storm in Dallas in August. That probably won't happen. So I can almost guarantee August in Dallas we're not having an ice storm.
That's all fine. Yeah, I had to get out early last time. So
yeah, I did too. All right. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. See you next week.